Hey, this is Taylor.
This is Jake.
And this is Dan.
And this is Unicorn Finders, where we are on the search to illuminate the elusive unicorn factor in everyday people, businesses, and relationships. Hope you enjoy.
Just raising the roof, man. I really wish I need to figure this out. I say this every single week. I need to figure out how to do custom music, because I will tell you this. For those of you who have not listened to the Vets Who Code podcast, Jerome, you have the dopest, I don't know if that's a correct term, I'm trying to act hip, the dopest intro music ever. And I'd like, you know, like, I'm going to pay you royalties. So just to use your intro music on the Unicorn Finders, because that music doesn't cut it and yours does.
So. Well, yo, don't thank me. Thank Ken Wheeler.
So. Oh, is that Ken Wheeler?
Yeah, that is Ken Wheeler.
I love it.
One of his beats. I actually have, for season two, we have another beat that we're going to start using. It's very exciting. I'm gonna do that every season.
Yeah. I love that. Well, thanks, y'all, for hanging out with us this morning. I know we're obviously kind of getting through the interwebs right now, but we have an OG guest on today. An OG guest. Jerome and Vets Who Code. I actually legit think you were the first guest on the show two years ago. And so now we're all better looking. We're all wiser. And so I was like, you know what? It's time to bring Jerome back home. It's bringing him home to the podcast that started. Jerome started the Unicorn Finders. And so we're very, very excited to have Jerome today. We're missing Jake. We're missing our third amigo. He is flying back from Nashville. He had business meetings this week. So Dan and I, the professional podcasters, I love Jake to death, but Dan has his own podcast. The professional podcasters have the show today. So Jerome, thanks for hanging, big dog. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me, man. I'm excited. Very excited to be here.
All right. So let's dive in, Jerome. Give the people what they want. Who are you? What do you do? What's Vets Who Code at a high level? And then we'll just start peppering you with questions.
Roger that. My name is Jerome Hardaway. They call me Captain America of Code. What I do, transition from the military, got into software, felt like there had to be easier ways for veterans to also transition. So we started a nonprofit called Vets Who Code around 2014. And to date, we've helped 278 veterans break into software by teaching them how to write code and, you know, build products while actually making a push to open source projects. And it's all free of charge, no GI Bill necessary, none of that. So that's what we've been doing and kicking butt, taking hits.
I love it. And so Jerome, from, you know, what got you into this, right? Like, I'm always, so I think from, you know, founders and whatnot, trying to figure out the, like, what motivates you. I think a lot of people have a lot of great ideas. I think a lot of people want to execute. A lot of people don't execute. And so I'm wondering, what got you to do this? Was there a specific moment? Was there a conversation? Was there an interaction that was like, you know what? I have to do this.
I mean, I know the moment that made me literally know that, I have a great idea. But I remember the first time I was working at a nonprofit at the time. I was working as a digital marketing, and I brought up why, you know, one of the biggest issues that I was seeing, especially coming out of the military, I was maybe 26, 27 at the time, that was going on was, for my generation of veteran, the services just did not exist. There were no, you know, for Vietnam veterans, we had those problems that, you know, they enter civilian sector at a very tough time before PTSD was recognized by doctors. Like, if you look at the history, my birthday, like the day I was born was the day that the government ratified and started recognizing PTSD.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. 35 years ago, August 1st. So when you look at that, there was a lot of substance abuse. My generation doesn't have that. My generation has a situation where we're kind of middling in the job space, and we're unemployed, underemployment, and mental health. Those are the things. So coming from a background in the height of the recession where, all my skills, while they look cool on paper. I was getting thank you for your service, but we can't hire you. Mm-hmm. And learning how to use build products and do cool things with tech to, you know, be able to pay my bills. I was like, we should teach more veterans how to write software. And at the time, I was remember being in this room full of like old dudes, and they were like, they just looked at me like I was crazy. Like, what? Like, I'm like, They were like, I never forget, one dude said, can veterans even code? And I was like, I'm a veteran that can code. So, that's yes. And everybody kept moving on to their own conversation. Like, oh, the young dude just said some crazy stuff. Like, I have no idea. He's crazy. So fast forward to May, there was a family that was in need. And I used my software engineering skills, and I was able to raise $27,000 in like 18 hours for this family.
Oh, wow.
Jeez. Yeah. So that's 2014. And I was like, I really have something here. I can do this like really, I'm really big. So I was like, you know, most of my stuff was self-taught. A lot of the things that I was doing was just figured out how to put things on together. And then other people started looking at, you know, the work I was doing, like, oh, you should come up to New York. Come on this apprenticeship. Come learn here. Like, let's, you know, supercharge you. And I remember being in the room, and I was gathering the ideas. And one of the things that I was doing, which is very similar to how you do things, Taylor, what you preach, is I was not wasting time. I was learning. I was building. I was mm-hmm. doing more of Vetsu code. I was using my lunch to take meetings. I was sending emails, doing breaks to people. Because I'm like, I got 4 months in New York. Let me, you know, wheel and deal while I'm here, right? While my constituents, they were doing pajama day and all these other weird things, like, you know, which showed me like a program of like a lot of code schools and apprenticeships things. They want to make you feel like you're in tech. And not that you're, you know, and not, you know, focus on the things that are going to get you in tech. The things that are going to get you in tech as a junior engineer is the social equity that you're building externally, is mm-hmm. products and not projects, right? So, you know, I've always preached, like, you know, I tell people all the time, no one asked me about linked lists my entire career because I can come up with I have a website that has raised $100,000 over 7 years. So no one's asking me about big O notation. And that is like the secret that like I've learned, you know, that was the secret sauce. So it's like, all right, if I know this and I have this recipe, I can bring people up behind me who identify those serious hard chargers, the ones that, you know, they want to build real things that people are going to touch and not, you know, the JavaScript calculators of the world. And we're going to do amazing things together. And that's, you know, what we've been doing. Vetsu Code the website has gone through 3 iterations. We went from a LampStack web app to a React web app, and now it's Next.js. The first iteration I did, all first 2 iterations I did all myself. Then we moved to Gatsby. I did maybe 20% of the work. This current iteration with Next.js and Vercel, I've done maybe 5% of the work. And that's just as a testament of our talent, right? Like now, you know, I'm literally the boring executive director, like seat where I, you know, honestly, God, it's best for me not to touch the code, right? So it's like, it would be, you know, it's more impactful if they do it than if I do it. Yeah, so now we're doing bigger projects. We're because we want to add TypeScript to our curriculums. Yeah. So, and we want to add .NET to our curriculum. So we're doing our LMS. We're using React on the front end, TypeScript, C#, .NET. And like I'm working on the .NET portion because everybody hates .NET, but I'm like at Microsoft, so I have to. Like I know .NET now.
It is what it is, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's the environment, right?
My philosophy on it is, I've shared this, and Taylor, he saw this a couple days ago. The biggest mistake people do is romanticize code, particularly when it comes to like communities, because in the end, I can go into a community and create positive change. Right. It doesn't really matter. But I'm not going to, especially as a junior, I'm not going to say these are things I'm not going to do when I'm like, hey, yo, these are the most popular technologies out here that are production, right? So not, to not learn I'm in the big in the JavaScript community, so when I see everybody talking about Svelte and Next and all these Vue. Other things, and I'm like, well, React is the most popular one that's still in production, so why even care about the other stuff? And I think that's just my right. I'm not one of those developers that like, oh, you know, I'm, you know, taking the code out to coffee and stuff. I am production focused developer. I only want to learn the things that will get me paid and then move on with my life. Like, I'd rather spend my money than, you know, play in code.
Well, you have a lot on your shoulders about job placement as well, as making sure that they're prepared for what the job force is, and you can focus on a lot of the really cool new things. I mean, you talk about Next.js. I mean, Taylor can tell you about his buddy that created Remix, which is like the next version of it, right? But at the end of the day, right, Kent was awesome. We talked to him, it was either last week or the week before. But, you know, at the end of the day, I know you have to be focused on, you know, career placement after, not just say you know all of these cool things. It's how can you then build a career off of it, right? Or how can you propel your career, even if you're not a software developer, with the things that you learn, which I guess leads me into my question, Jerome, is you guys have been able to grow a ton over the last 7 years. And since the last 2 years that we've really, that we've gotten to know each other, you've obviously continued to grow and continue to develop curriculum. How do you guys determine what that curriculum is to teach the non-coder, maybe somebody coming right out of the military, to learn code, to then be able to not only learn what to do, but then to be able to have some job opportunities and prospects after?
Roger that. We focus on the 360, right? In the end, the curriculum is only as good as the job listings. So we go through of the job listings, and we look at the top, like when we research, what are the biggest job listings? What are the biggest junior engineer friendly job listings, right? And when we whittle down those skills, like, all right, these are the things you absolutely need to know. And then these are the things that are nice to have. And what we focus on is this 70-30 rule. We're trying at no particular time, every 6 months, we're trying to change and update at least 30% of the curriculums, right? Cool. By keeping 70% as stable as possible, because that's very important to us, and it keeps churn down for people having to learn things. And, you know, we're in a very exciting time where across the board, one, all the technologies have kind of, the core technologies have kind of settled down. You know what to, you know, do for what, right? And we're now focusing on disciplines, right? Like, it's not, you know, it's DevOps, it's Platform Ops, it's Chat Ops, it's all these disciplines that we have now that, you know, really set people apart. Like, I was telling people, I would keep going back to Taylor because Taylor, he stalks me on Twitter.
Yeah, he sure does.
I was talking about the process of being a JavaScript developer that understands, you know, the entire platform of GitHub and be able to build out GitHub Actions and the CI/CD pipeline for a product is going to get you much further than being a JavaScript developer that's just learn stack, right? Yeah. You know, having these conversations and thinking of these ideologies, and I think that's the biggest advantage that for Best Code is that I'm still in the workforce, because, you know, it's much more difficult, I feel like, for the other executive directors and other people in leaderships and programs to be on the cutting or to know what is needed, because they're not building big products or not, you know, going to companies and talking to them and consulting with them, right? And asking, you know, what they need or building the solutions that they need. That would be the advantage of being at one of the top companies in the world is, one, I'm dog fooding all of our products all the time. Like, there's no company like Microsoft that uses its products at the rate that we do. And then I'm able to jump in and work with other companies and build these crazy solutions and then come back to Betsu Code and be like, hey, so this is what I learned and this is what I did and this is super crazy. I'm going to teach you all this, right? Like, our data engineering pipeline, our data engineering curriculum that we're building is based upon a data supply chain that a project that I was part of, that's in production now, I believe. And it was almost $500 million project. And we're working, I mean, success done, they absolutely loved it. And now I'm like, now I get to take the data that we got from the VA, and we're going to do that again before the veterans, and we're going to use Jupyter, we're going to use Terraform, we're going to use Docker, we're going to use all these things with this data supply chain. They're going to add data visualization tools to it, so that way the people can, we can tell a better story about this stuff to people who don't understand the data. And that is something that, you know, I'm very excited about. Right, because that is like, that's been my that's how we build curriculum here. We focus on, all right, we got to build a thing first, because in the end, it's all, you know, it's easy to build product in a clean environment. It's a totally different process when you're going into a mature app, and that's what I feel like makes our, you know, our students better, because they come in and they're like, okay, what are we supposed to do? Oh, well, I need you to do PRs. Here's GitHub issues, take a PR. Like, I like making, I'm like, I put bugs in there, and I'm like, okay, here's the bug tracker. These are good first issues right here. Here are intermediate. Here's big thing. Like, that's the process, right? Making them actually do real work that they can talk about the value that they're adding. You know, it's easier, like, oh, hey, this person helped our website get 30% faster. They upped our performance. Mm-hmm. This person right here implemented CDN, so people who have hit the site before is automatically cached, and, you know, it feels faster to them, even though there's a cache in front of it, right? Being able to have those conversations with hiring managers makes it much easier for them versus, well, here are these three, you know, projects on my portfolio, and I hope you like them, right? And then also, we focus a lot on social equity. We have our Slack, well, we call them drill now, but once a month we have drill, and like, we have these great talented people come in and pour into the veterans. From this, today is actually a drill day, and we have John Cooperman from Cloudflare coming in and talk to service workers.
Awesome.
With veterans, right? And we do this every month. So these are like all the processes that we do, like, you know, we're going to add lunch and learns in the next 2 months, because it's difficult to, like, it's just, I'm bursting at the seams with new stuff to learn. So I have to teach. So I'm like, I have to find ways to teach things. We have to add lunch and learns now. we're working on our DevOps curriculum. We're working on our data engineering curriculum. It's building our LMS. We have a deal with LinkedIn Learning now. That I'm actually going to be redoing a lot of the building, like a veteran path with LinkedIn Learning. Wow. It's super cool. It's just like, it's a very, and I think like today or tomorrow, I have like a random interview with, like, I think Wall Street Journal or some shit. I don't know.
Yeah, not a big deal. Not a big deal. It's a small local publication in like Northeast New York. Never heard of them, but
I'll never be remembering this. I gotta look at my calendar. It's just, you know, I think right now we're at a very exciting time of SU Code, in which the only people that can beat us is ourselves. So we have to continue to do the right thing, continue to do quality, do the things that work. And, you know, which is super hard for us, because I tell people my 5-year goal is to start impacting 1-2% of veterans that exit the military. That's awesome. In 5 years. That's 2,500 veterans a year. And it's really difficult because, well, regardless of what people say, education does not scale width-wise well, but it does scale depth-wise well. So, you know, that's the biggest, most difficult problem that we have to fix, right, is, you know, how do we start impacting veterans at that scale so they can get to the next level and be able to help them, you know, have the type of lifestyle that I enjoy, right? Yep. You know, that's that has always been the end goal. You served your country. You've done the work. Now let's, you know, pour into ourselves by doing the work so we can enjoy the lives that we've earned. Right. That's been the type of like mindset that I've always been trying to push my troops.
Jerome, I have a follow-up question. You kind of hinted on it with your LinkedIn Learning and creating a platform, but how do you guys decide, I guess, who to work with? How do they get, you know, connected into the program? What's like the screening process look like? Because I know that there's IT has obviously been, you know, at the forefront for the last, you know, 15, 20 years of a lot of people saying, hey, really wanting into it. There's a lot of high paying jobs. Yes, they're stressful, but they're in office, right? You know, there's a lot of perks that a lot of people are saying, hey, IT is the direction that I want to go. How do you guys decide how to best use your time, your resources to best make sure that the individual is compatible with, you know, the career path that they're choosing and not just saying, hey, I want to go into it because I can make a bunch of money.
Are you talking about like an individual getting into Vetsu Code or companies to partner?
No, individuals. It's more on the individual side. Right. Yeah.
Roger that. That's for us, we've made it pretty easy. We focus on, we treat it like a job interview. You have to apply. To apply, you have to do the pre-work. If you don't do the pre-work and the initial capstone, you can't apply. There's two interviews. One is technical, based upon what you've built from the pre-work, and you know that's our process. We have the personal, the technical, and the application process, and that has helped us tremendously. And also, I have to give a huge shout out to Eddie Krizlak. He's if I am Odin, he is my Hemsdale. He makes sure that only like quality talent gets through Vetsu Code. I absolutely, especially this current cohort we have, like these kids are rock stars. And I say kids, and, like, awesome. Half of them are older than me. but it's like, you know, I think that's one of the things, right? You have to find, you know, I guess the biggest secret sauce in that is having people that care, you know, I feel like, you know, I tell people I'm an airman, but I put like a big Marine tanker in front of like the door to get in Vetsu Code. And I don't even touch the interview process because I'm like, cause people slide in my DMs. Like, how do I get in? I'm like, nope, I'm not involved. There's no nepotism here. I can't pull favors, can't pull strings.
What about companies? I am curious, how do you partner with companies to build that pipeline?
Well, for us, it's about altruism. I don't like working with companies that I absolutely hate, right? Like, harsh reality is like, if I wouldn't want to work at your company, I can't pitch your company to my people, right? Like, we and one of the big six orgs, they come to us about, you know, being a part of pipeline stuff, and the conversations were just difficult because I was like, I would be caught alive in this company. I don't like this company. Yes. And I was just, and I had a student who worked at the company prior to moving on to Eventbrite. And he was like, no, it's a horrible company. I don't want to work with them. So it's like, how do I go to my veterans when my head of education doesn't want to work with these people because he's worked with them and he doesn't like their toxic culture? I don't like their toxic culture. How can I pitch this to my veterans? Right? That is the problem, right? And their cultures, ideologies, if we just throw more money at it, you'll say yes. And I'm like, there's not a price point on my soul, y'all. I'm sorry. I have to care about my people.
That's a quote right there.
So that is, that's how we really do it. We start with, I mean, in the end, we start with the people. We start with engineering managers, and that's how we build the relationships with companies. That's how I decide how we work with is people that we like. A story of, and also another way we do that is altruism to the community. I feel like it's my responsibility as a veteran and also as a technologist to make sure the right type of veterans are getting into tech, into the area where they are not doing things that would cause harm to other people. And that's something I take very serious. And that also comes with the companies that we work with. We recently, earlier, the first company that came to us this year, tried to get a deal with us and put us in our pipeline and hire our veterans. We said no to them. They were a Black Rifle Coffee Company. And we told them no because of the things that were going on previously, especially with a lot of the negative media they were getting. We knew that our community and tech as a whole would not respond well to seeing that partnership. So we had
and that's gotta be hard, Jerome, right? To turn down opportunity. I mean, you guys are building a really cool platform and organization, and then to have a company come to you and you guys turn them down, that's got to be a hard executive decision. I understand, you know.
Oh, no.
You understand the why, but –
no, absolutely okay. Not. I, like I said, I take my Captain America code name very seriously. It's my job to do the best, to make the best decisions on all sides. And that's where the whole ideology of, you know, looking things from a 360. Yes, this is a veteran-owned company. I would love to work with veteran-owned companies. At the same time, I have to look at how it looks at the larger component of our, you know, our constituents, the people who are donors and our supporters, right? How would they react if this logo popped up on my website, right?
That's really cool.
I have to make the right calls, and it's
our brand. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I learned that, funny story, I learned it with Apple. So, yeah. Very funny story that people don't know. Our logo before the hash flag was a grenade, and veterans loved it. It's like 2014, 2015. Veterans loved it. They loved the grenade. They're like, this is so dope. Had a meeting with some executives in New York and Apple, trying to get a partnership with them. First year in, like, I'm dreaming big, right? And they were like, seriously. There is no way we will put our logo next to a grenade. And that was the toughest level, the toughest lesson of branding that I've ever had in my life. You know what? It's not always. It isn't actually. Because what people don't understand is when you're branding is a form of marketing. Branding is the thing that is going to help you get the thing that you need across. So I have to brand for my target, like for my target acquisition and not for my desire, right? But that's why I try to teach my veterans, right? You know, please stop using all dark colors on your website. Unless it's dark mode, don't use dark colors. You know, blue.
Use the pink and purple like we do.
Yes, because it's nicer, it's kinder, it's softer, right? It makes you look more approachable. That's what you want to do, right? You want people to approach you so that way they can learn more about you, so that way they can give you access to their network or give you the opportunities to apply for things. And, you know, you want to be able to create people who will sponsor you and talk about you in the rooms that you can't get into or invite you into the rooms that you don't even know exist, right? So that's what branding is supposed to do. So when I learned that our branding was hurting us, Lebowitz and I, our first CDO, he and I over Facebook Messenger and Whiskey, we were living and like building out the logo and the brand colors and stuff. IRL took us like half a bottle of Hibiki and half a bottle of Hibiki and 30 minutes. And we were doing this and we were wondering when we were going to roll it out. And then Gary Vaynerchuk reached out and was like, hey, I want you on our show. We're talking about nonprofits. And we were like, well, we were thinking about rolling this out in like on Memorial Day weekend, but this is March. So we either roll everything out Memorial Day weekend and people get confused and they're looking for us, or we roll it out now. And so we were like, oh, snap, we got to roll it out now. And like, everything worked well. It was great. It was great media. Everybody was like, yo, these dudes are doing great work. And I was freaking out because it's like, oh my god, like my first as Taylor can tell you, all of the things that I do on the first time are always big things, and it's like you're highly unqualified for this because you didn't even practice. So we're rolling out the new brand with Gary Vaynerchuk first time, my first time pitching talking about Vets of Code, I'm with Barack Obama. I'm like, this is absolutely not how it's supposed to go. Like, I need to go to like, I don't know.
So. The mom and pop shop downtown first. And then
like, I've been working my way backwards my entire career. It's wild.
I know. So as we wrap up here, and 30 minutes flies by when you're having fun, any last bits of news that you want to share? Any, maybe some things upcoming, or anything, any like last kind of updates from the Vets Who Code side of things?
Roger that. So in around July, we will have a new cohort finished. We already have two troops down, I believe, in regards to they already have jobs. So then with everybody, this cohort, we only out of 50 applicants, we only accept the 6. So that leaves you 4 applicants if you're looking for people. I have wow. Adrian Grimm and Stephen Lamo, who are also there. So that gives me, I have a total of 6 troops that will be available until September.
Okay.
I'll be interviewing them on our podcast. So if you're looking for talent, hit me up. Or, you know, reach out to them directly, especially on Twitter. That's where it's easier to get to me on Twitter than on email, apparently, these days. And I'm just super excited. We have Ken Wheeler's 4th of July weekend bash. He always does something crazy. Like, as he says, he wants to make a remote control water dunk thing where people donate. They'll be able to dunk him on Independence Day. I'm like, I kind of want something where, you know, people can drown you. It's kind of weird. Yeah. But yeah, so just follow us on Twitter. We're always trying to do doing new things, saying new things. And also check out our GitHub repos, our GitHub org. We're always focusing on expanding things. If you're new getting tech and you have you're trying to get front end and you don't know, like, you have your VS Code and you don't know what to really like start it, go, you know, download our Visual Studio Code, our Visual Code extension pack. It has all the most popular tools needed to be a great JavaScript engineer. So you can install them in your install them into your VS Code. If you are on a Windows box and you're trying to get in JavaScript, we have built an entire Windows JavaScript dev guide, so you know everything to install. One of our troops, Steven, he actually did it. I shared it with the people at Microsoft, the JavaScript community at Microsoft, and they were like, this is so good that I wish we hadn't worked this first. And that, you know, that was the best compliment that I've ever had a student get on some documentation. So if you have a Windows box and you're trying to, you know, learn JavaScript, check that out. It helps you make a really great JavaScript environment on your Windows machine.
So, and then I want to get Pia. It's great to see you this morning. Joey, it's great to see you. Dr. Rose, a former guest on the show. Dr. Rose asking, Jerome, where are you located?
Like, where am I located? Where is your code located?
No.
I am located currently in Atlanta. It's, it's muggy here, Betsu Code is 100% remote. It was one of the first things. We were the first nonprofit that was 100% remote, because what we wanted to do was ensure that, you know, veterans didn't have to move. And not only that, it was, the ideology was always to take the things from the biggest cities and communities and bring them to, like, you know, a veteran wherever they are, especially since veterans on average don't move any more than 50 miles away from their last duty station. So, and most of these are like in small towns, things of that nature. So, like, you know, you have Fort Campbell in Tennessee, they usually go up to Kentucky, right? Because that's actually closer than coming down to Nashville, you know. Like, so that's the logic, ideology. So, you know, when a person like Jeff Martin, who's stationed in Fort Campbell, wants to really learn how to code, and he wants to, you know, do stuff, we're taking that stuff from San Francisco, teaching him how to code, and he has been at Microsoft and GitHub for 3 years now. That's like my favorite Nashville story is, you know, I drove out to Fort Campbell on his last day in the military. He had his separation party, ended up getting his offer letter from Microsoft. He proposed to his girlfriend right there on the spot at the party. And I was like, oh snap, wait, I'm at an engagement party now? And then we all had brunch with Scott Hanselman the next day. It was the wildest weekend as an executive director. I'm like, we're sitting here like, hey, here's a future peer of yours. And like, he could tell you everything about Microsoft. And I'm like, yo, this is wild. And like, Scott's like, dude, did you just change an entire family's life? And I was like, think I did. I don't know. Like, yeah, and that's the most rewarding part about this, right?
Sure. It's
like
100%.
You change lives, right? You got people that are making $30,000-$40,000, and then you come in and you just say a couple of nerd things to them and help them learn stuff. The next thing you know, they're making $80,000-$90,000, and you're like, you know, they're like, oh, my kid can go into jujitsu now. And I'm like Erin, she's a UX, and she's a jujitsu mom now. And like all these things. I'm like, this is so cool that I get to see your kids get bigger and people having babies and getting married and stuff. I'm like, this is the wildest experience of my life. Like,
I love it.
I absolutely love what I get to do. So
that's awesome. Well, y'all, thanks for hanging out with us today. Dr. Rose, if you want to email me, taylor@vaco.com, I'll get you connected with Jerome and see if there's some magic that can happen there. Jerome, thanks for hanging, buddy.
It was Roger, thank you for having me.
It was good to see you. Y'all have a great one. We'll see y'all next week. Take it easy. Peace.
Thank y'all so much for tuning in to this episode of the Unicorn Finders. If you found any of that interesting or helpful at all, please share it with your friends. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, or want to be a part of our podcast, be sure to email us at info@theunicornfinders.com.
And while you're at it, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe us 5 stars and share it with a friend or two. We'll see you next week.